Hey, what's up? It's me, Max Chair, and you're listening to Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. It's 10:45 a.m. Monday, April 11th, 2022, and this is Video Nom Noms. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you again for listening. So I just picked up some fresh buds, and it's some mint sherbet. From my favorite dispensary, and it tastes delicious. It tastes like almost like sweet, almost creamy. It smells and tastes creamy, like ice cream, basically, or I suppose mint sherbet. I don't get a lot of mintiness from it, but I do get some mintiness. The cat just came out to say hello. Hi, buddy. So I'm out on the porch with him, and we're chilling, we're smoking some weed, and, well, I'm smoking some weed, like I said, the aforementioned mint sherbet that I just picked up. Okay, so today I want to talk, I basically watched 4 movies last night, I think. So the first one was Twilight Zone, the movie, which I started, and I like the first part okay. It kind of has that famous opening with Albert Brooks and Dan Aykroyd, where they're singing along to, I think it's a Bob Seger song. And then the car player eats the tape. So they're like, oh, god damn it, what are we going to do now? You know, they're clearly on some kind of road trip or something. They're driving out in the middle of nowhere. I guess like in the desert somewhere, probably shot like outside of LA somewhere. Kind of reminded me of driving cross country, actually. So, you know, what are we going to do now, they say. So, I don't know what they're doing. They're playing games, telling jokes, something to pass the time. And then Dan Aykroyd says to Albert Brooks, do you want to see something really scary? And then, I'm just going to tell you the whole opening if you've never heard about this. Like I said, it is a famous opening. So Dan Aykroyd's like, pull the car over. And Albert Brooks is driving. He's like, what? Pull the car. He's like, yeah, yeah. Pull over for a second. I want to show you something really scary. So they pull over and he's like, 1 second. He's got this kind of like creepy look on his face. He kind of turns away and then he turns back and he's like, he looks like a witch, like this scary creature, and ends up eating Albert Brooks, I guess. And then it's like, na 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 na. Drifts up, and then it's, boom, we're in the Twilight Zone. And then it opens on the first story, which is about a sexist white guy who's old. So I ended up turning it off, but I don't know if that's the John Landis one. I don't know if that's the guy that got killed. What's his name? I feel like such an asshole right now. I don't know if that's the one. Anyway, I don't really care about Twilight Zone, the movie. I want to see Spielberg's segment, and I want to see the William Shatner one, Horror at 10,000 Miles, whatever the fuck it's called. I think John Lithgow is in the one that they did, because they redid it for the movie. I've never actually seen that original, I've just heard about it. That's one of the more famous Twilight Zones. Anyway, I don't know if that's Spielberg's, I don't know which one. I know it's Spielberg, Landis, oh, George Miller did one, I think. I definitely want to see that one. I know the Landis one was the catastrophe, because the Landises are assholes. So anyway, fuck that whole family. Okay, so then I switched over to The Hills Have Eyes Part 2, which is the Wes Craven original, which I dug to a certain extent. I thought it was fun. It's also, like, a little crappy. It's almost surprising that Wes Craven directed it, because it does have this almost, like, crappy, like, sequel quality to it. Almost like it could have been done by somebody else, but Wes Craven wrote and directed The Hills Have Eyes Part 2. At least that's how it's credited. So he was the auteur on it. He was an auteur on it. And he probably didn't have the budget that he had for the first one or something. I don't know. And the first one isn't that great either. And it starts out with a bunch of clips from the first one. I think they're from the first. I've only seen it once, and it was a long time ago. I think I actually like the Alexander Asia one better. In fact, I almost definitely do. First of all, Vanessa Shaw is hot, but also, I like the gore. And Alexander Asia, he did have, like, a unique style at that point in time. Like, that and High Tension are, like, those are, like, cool, like, hardcore, balls-to-the-wall horror movies. High Tension is obviously the superior. I love High Tension. That's one of my favorite movies of that whole decade, actually. But The Hills Have Eyes, I thought, was a great remake. Or maybe not great, but a good remake. And then I remember they made a Hills Have Eyes 2 in, like, 2007 or something. Like, they actually made a sequel to the remake, which I don't know if it was a remake of the original sequel. I don't know what. But I remember thinking at the time, wow, this is a moment. Like, not only have they remade The Hills Have Eyes, not only is it a hardcore gore fest, they actually made a sequel to it. So that 2007 was definitely, like, a cool moment for horror movies, and I was very into horror and gore at the time. And a lot of what was happening in American horror cinema was a reflection of, well, to be honest, it was actually a reflection of what was happening in Iraq. It was, like, a reflection of political stuff, including what America was doing. So that was all part of it, but it was also just a great time to be a horror fan. And then that all kind of died. It's weird. I see, like, Eli Roth tied into all this because it's, like, Hostel was kind of, like, the peak of this kind of, like, mid-2000s hardcore horror filmmaking. But then it was, like, a year and a half later, and, like, not even, Hostel Part 2 comes out, and it's, like, the wave was, like, already over. It was kind of, like, already dead at that point. And then Hostel Part 2 doesn't do well, and that's kind of, like, the final nail in the coffin. And then, I don't know, American movie culture just kind of moved away from horror movies. It kind of moved toward comedy, actually, like Judd Apatow, Superbad shit. Basically, Superbad came out, I think, summer of 2007. Superbad might have come out right, like, the next month after Hostel Part 2. I'd like to look at that period of time and track it. And then everybody, you know, nobody went to see Hostel Part 2. Everybody went to see Superbad. Everybody loved it. And then it was, like, Judd Apatow time for, like, the next 5 years. And then that died out, too. There was, like, Pineapple Express, which even that was, like, kind of a disappointment, but I think was, like, a fairly sizable hit. And then, yeah, it just kind of slowly died out. By the time, like, 50-50 was coming out, which was, like, Seth Rogen was co-starring as, like, the funny best friend in that, and that was, like, 2011, and, like, that movie, like, tanked, I think, kind of. It, like, did not do well, and then that was kind of, like, the end of that period, and then it was, like, the 2010s, and movies, like, basically died, and now here we are, living in the post-apocalypse, the wasteland. Okay, so, to get back to what I was talking about, Hills Have Eyes Part 2 by Wes Craven. Then I watched, at some point I watched Land of the Dead, which is what I actually want to talk about. See, this is the problem, is I pack a bowl on my notebook, and then I can't look at my fucking notes, and I don't even remember what the fuck I watched. Oh! Wait, what did I just say? I watched John Carpenter's Vampires, which is actually what I really want to talk about today. And then, is that what I just said? Fuck, I'm so high now. God damn it. All right, hold on. Just for fun, I might even just take another hit. It's like these fresh buds, like, really just fuck me up, man. Fuck my day up in a good way. Okay. Let me see. So out of it. Okay, Land of the Dead. That's what I just fucking said. Oh my God. So high, my short-term memory is fucked. All right, just in honor of that, let me take this other hit. So, Twilight Zone, the movie, Hills Have Eyes 2. So then I watched John Carpenter's Vampires and Ghosts of Mars. I finished both of those, finally, which I never had before, actually. And then I watched George A. Romero's Land of the Dead, which was probably my favorite movie of the whole night. Not that it's a great movie, but I do think it's better than these other movies, and I'll tell you why in a second. So, John Carpenter's Vampires and Ghosts of Mars. Well, first of all, John Carpenter's Vampires, that's really what I wanted to get into right now. Give me 1 second, sorry. John Carpenter, he rarely worked in this genre, and this genre is actually just pretty rare in general, but I'm going to call it action horror. So I can't think of many movies that work as both action movies and horror movies. I think there are elements of that in Shaun of the Dead. There are, like, kind of like mild action scenes. But that's more horror romantic comedy with maybe like a, you know, a dash of action thrown in. But John Carpenter's Vampires is a legitimate, to me, a legitimate action movie and a legitimate vampire movie slash horror movie. So it's like, it has legitimate action set pieces. It's a blast. It's really fun. It's kind of like poppy and bright and gory and colorful. I like when the zombie, I mean, the vampires go up in flames. And there's like that red kind of flame. That red color is really cool. It's just, in some ways, I think it's John Carpenter's best movie of the 90s. It's just like a cool, like, Western vampire movie, which is also like an action movie, which is also like balls out and really fun. And my favorite John Carpenter movie of the 90s is In the Mouth of Madness, which is just one of my favorite, possibly one of my favorite John Carpenter movies, because it's just like so weird, and it's his most meta movie, and it gets into, you know, Lovecraft stuff, and it's just like, it's just kind of an out there movie. It's trippy, and I like that. Wait, just give me 1 second, sorry. So in the case of vampires, basically John Carpenter has worked in cross genres before. So like, he's done sci-fi horror. He actually made, to me, the second greatest sci-fi horror film of all time, which is The Thing. Alien is number one. Ridley Scott's Alien, but John Carpenter's The Thing is number two. And then, in terms of sci-fi horror, Ghosts of Mars I would also put in that category. But Vampires is even kind of a better movie than Ghosts of Mars. Ghosts of Mars got, like, a little crappy. Maybe some of that is the acting. You know, James Woods, I think, is a good actor. Even though he's an asshole. Apparently, in real life. But he kind of works for this role because the character is this kind of gruff asshole. And so the action set pieces really work, and the horror really works, and I can't think of another example of an action horror movie. It's just like really cool. Carpenter does it really well in this. He also kind of creates it and masters it in this. All right, maybe it doesn't master it. It's definitely not a masterpiece, but and it's definitely lesser Carpenter in some ways, but it's also, like I said, balls out, cool, fun 90s Carpenter. And then, I just want to talk about the script, actually. I don't know if he wrote it or co-wrote it, but it's, the script itself is very profane. There's a female vampire character, or a woman who got bit, she's turning into a vampire, and they kind of, like, take her, I don't know, captive, because she's going to help lead them to the master, who she has a psychic connection with. It's actually a cool script in terms of the mythology side of it, but really I want to talk about the dialogue side of it, which is, this dialogue is very profane, very, like, post-Tarantino. I was even thinking about Superbad on my drive home, like, how profane that was. So I'm thinking of this kind of, like, I don't know, Trinity, Triumvirate, of, like, Tarantino, Judd Apatow, John Carpenter. No, this doesn't work. This doesn't make sense. Oh, Kevin Smith. He's the other missing piece. So, I don't know, dialogue got, like, very profane in the 90s, which was actually a response to the uptight conservative right from the left, because Hollywood was mostly left at that time. This is just kind of my interpretation of it. This may not be accurate, but now things have shifted, and now it's the right that's more profane. Is, you know, they're calling people names, they're labeling things, they're using arcane terminology, and the left is the one who's censoring all over the place. So I don't want to get political here, but things have shifted. But it was cool, and it was actually refreshing to hear dialogue this profane, this filled with obscenity, and this, you know, quote-unquote un-PC and offensive, because it was like James Woods is throwing out all these terms, and it's this kind of cool, it is kind of like cool post-Tarantino dialogue, which I appreciated. And this is kind of like a piece of pop culture. It's just kind of like a cool, interesting, like, poppy, fun, gory movie for John Carpenter. And then in the case of Ghosts of Mars, that's kind of a cool, fun, weird science fiction movie with a really good concept. So we're talking high concept science fiction, John Carpenter. We're talking Escape from New York, Escape from LA, that kind of thing. So in the case of Ghosts of Mars, it's about a colony on Mars, which is actually conceivable. I talked about all this on the Ghosts of Mars episode, but I finally finished the movie. I think the cast held it back from being better. I think that was part of it. Natasha Henstridge and Ice Cube. I mean, they're not great actors. Ice Cube's not a great actor. Kind of a lame ending, but also kind of cool. Kind of a cool ending. Just like conceptually, the movie is cool, but it's just like in execution, it just doesn't. I don't know. It just doesn't really work. It's kind of flat. I don't know. But even more than that, it's almost like borderline goofy in some ways. But still worth a watch, especially if you're a John Carpenter completist like I am. And I'm reminded now of the description on Stars, I think it was, of Escape from LA that I saw before I watched it. Outdated cultural depiction. I think that could be said of vampires too. Maybe outdated cultural terminology. Or outdated terminology. Outdated cultural representation or outdated dialogue or terms for things or words. I don't fucking know. One second, sorry. Taking another hit. Oh my god, this stuff tastes so fresh and delicious. Alright, so next up is George A. Romero's Land of the Dead, which was probably my favorite movie of the whole night and morning. This guy, my cat over here, woke me up at like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I was up for a little while. Didn't have much weed to smoke, but I ended up watching like 4 films or whatever in parts. Didn't end up reading it all, but I did read this morning. Still reading Only Americans Burn in Hell by Jared Kobach. I really want his new books, Motor Spirit and How to Find Zodiac, which I've already talked about. But I'm re-listening to the Brady Sinelis episode with him on it. It's fascinating. So, and I'm listening to the Simon Rex episode where Ellis breaks down the Oscars from this year. So, where was I? Land of the Dead. So this is the fourth installment in the George A. Romero Dead series, originally a trilogy of Night of the Living Dead. Dawn of the Dead, my favorite zombie movie of all time. Night of the Living Dead is number 2. And then Day of the Dead, number 3. And now Land of the Dead, number 4. Now the stuff in Land of the Dead concerning Fiddler's Green, which Tarantino said on the History of Horror podcast Uncut that he hated all that stuff. I think he called it the Caprini Green stuff, but I assume he's referring to Fiddler's Green. I didn't really like that stuff either. It's the weakest stuff in the movie. I like Dennis Hopper. I like seeing him, but I think he's miscast. I think he's a little awkward in the movie. And just the boring suit and tie boardroom shit, the rich people shit. I don't know. It's just like, get rid of that shit. That's the most boring stuff in the movie. And the fact that, like, characters are, like, pining after that, like, that's their dream. Including John Leguizamo, but he was an interesting character. And a lot of that is Leguizamo's performance. I think he's a good actor. I like John Leguizamo. But also, it's a good script. Good dialogue. Best dialogue of the night, I thought. Even though I do like the vampires' dialogue. But just, like, it's good shooting, Charlie. There's no such thing as nice shooting, or something like that. I don't know if the guy's name was Charlie. But I like the characters, like the dialogue. Some of it's a little broad. We're going back to 2005 here. Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg both appear in the movie as zombies in the kind of, like, photo... not a photo shoot. What do you call it? Photo booth kind of scene. And then, what else is there to talk about? Fiddler's Green, Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg. Yeah, so apparently Romero was a fan of Shaun of the Dead, so he invited them to be in the movie. And they gave him a private screening of Shaun of the Dead, too. Might have been the first screening of the movie. I'm not really sure. All right, so Land of the Dead. I don't know. Was there more I wanted to say about it? I don't know. I'd seen it before. I didn't finish it. I fell asleep. Oh, Aja Argento is in it. Dario Argento's daughter. She's so hot. And she's a good actress, too. I like her. I'd like to see more of her. I wish her career, like, took off in America more. I think she's much more well-known in Europe, but I don't actually know. I mean, obviously, she's from Europe, so it's different. She's Italian, but speaks English in this. Anyway, Land of the Dead. What else did I even want to say about it? I don't know. It's just kind of like a good, solid zombie movie. Oh, yeah, so I'd seen it before. I liked it. I think I enjoyed it even more this time. I kind of appreciated it, appreciated the writing. Romero's a good writer, and the dialogue's good. The whole... See, I don't even know how to say it now. I guess the plotting, or I guess the story... It just sounds so boring. It's all you hear about is the story, the story, the story. But it's just like, it is about the story, so... Yeah, the story's good. The story's dope. In some ways, there are weaknesses, but maybe I'm just too high. Maybe I need to stop for a second, but I don't know. It's just overall, I just enjoyed, I don't know what it is. I don't know how to describe it. Maybe it's part of, I think there are a lot of parts of it. And I think part of it is just the whole Romero mythology, the whole like, each movie in the series is a progression from the next one. So Night of the Living Dead is, that's basically like the beginning of the outbreak, of or whatever you want to call it, the zombie, the beginning of the zombies, we'll say. And then in Dawn of the Dead, it's progressed, you know, it's a few months later or whatever. I mean, the outbreak, if you want to call it that. The event. And then Day of the Dead, it's progressed even further. They're like underground, they're like building societies. And then Land of the Dead, I mean, there are, like, cops, jails, like, society has been rebuilt to the point that there are, like, cities, but it's just, like, everything has to be enclosed, everything has to be, like, protected, obviously, so the zombies can't get in, which, you know, is a metaphor in its own right. So I just love that whole mythology. I love to see the point that it's progressed to, and I do like that Romero was able to incorporate things that he wasn't able to incorporate in Day of the Dead, excuse me. Clearly he had a bigger budget on this than any of the other three. Or at least that's my guess. I don't actually know. I imagine it was like Romero was like, okay, I'll make another zombie movie. And they're like, here's a bunch of money. It seems like that maybe is what happened. But then maybe the movie wasn't as big a hit as everybody wanted. So then Diary of the Dead and then Survival of the Dead were both lower budget. Survival of the Dead is actually the best of the three. That's like one of the best Romero movies, I would say. I mean, it's the best Romero zombie movie since Day of the Dead. But I do like elements of Land of the Dead, and I do think it's kind of fun. It kind of presents a fun world. Edgar Wright has this kind of, like, theory about Dawn of the Dead, or maybe it's not even a theory, just kind of, like, a feeling about the movie that, like, that would almost be, like, a fun world to live in. Like, it would be fun to live in that mall. I mean, you have food, you have clothing, like, it's all there, and you can just, like, fuck around, you can ice skate, like, what, like, it would be kind of fun. There's, like, a fun element to it. It would be, like, kind of a fun world to live in, a fun apocalyptic or post-apocalyptic world to live in. And I agree with that. And Land of the Dead has some of that, even though it's, I think, a bleaker, more brutal, more harsh world and existence. And it gets kind of back to, like, the grittiness of, like, Day of the Dead and Night of the Living Dead, too, to a certain extent. I think Dawn of the Dead is kind of, like, an outlier. For all of them. All of them are, like, more gritty than Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead is kind of this bright, like, comic booky, like, poppy, fun, gory zombie movie. Which is part of what makes it my favorite zombie movie of all time. Again, Night of the Living Dead is a very close number two. And they both have their own unique tones. And then from Day of the Dead on, he introduced this kind of, like, darker, more dour, more gritty tone. Which carries through all the way to Survival of the Dead, actually, in my opinion. So, the other thing I was thinking about was just the zombie renaissance of the 2000s, which started with, and this part of this I'm gathering also from Edgar Wright's theory, and this is an Edgar Wright theory. So, Resident Evil Evil, the video game, the original one, comes out in 2000. And that starts, that kicks it off. That starts things off. Then 28 Days Later comes out, the Danny Boyle movie written by Alex Garland, starring Cillian Murphy, released in 2002. According to them, not a zombie movie, in quotes. It is a zombie movie. So then, so Edgar Wright finds out about that. He's pissed. I think both Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg were actually Resident Evil fans. So they that I think Resident Evil, the game, partly inspired Shaun of the Dead. No shit. But then, so then they're writing Shaun of the Dead, and then Edgar Wright finds out that there's a British, that's the other thing, another British zombie movie that's coming out, and Danny Boyle directed it, and he's like, what the fuck, he said, I literally threw the phone, somebody told him, and he was so pissed, and I don't blame him. So anyway, then Shaun of the Dead comes out, the same fucking year the Dawn of the Dead remake comes out, and I think he found out about that too. He's like, what, they're remaking Dawn of the Dead? What's happening? I thought this was going to be the first zombie movie in 15 years, or 20 years, whatever. Anyway, so maybe that pushed him to make it better, or possibly release it sooner. It would have been 20 years, excuse me, because I guess it was the Michael Jackson Thriller video. I think it was Return of the Living Dead 2 also. Once you have dancing zombies, it just kind of kills it because nobody takes it seriously anymore. That also happened with slasher movies. Once you have Freddy Krueger, like, basically as a stand-up comedian telling jokes, like, just delivering one-liners, it's like nobody can take it seriously anymore, so it's not scary anymore. So then nobody cares. It loses its bite. You know what I mean? Like, A Nightmare on Elm Street was scary. Freddy Krueger was scary. By Nightmare on Elm Street 5, he's not scary anymore. In Night of the Living Dead, zombies were terrifying. By Return of the Living Dead 2, zombies aren't scary anymore. But then Edgar Wright kind of brings it back, along with Resident Evil, 28 Days Later, and Zack Snyder's version of Dawn of the Dead, written by James Gunn, which I think is actually like a strong remake. And I like all of those things, actually, even though I don't think I've ever played the original Resident Evil. I think Resident Evil 3 is the only one I played. It was cool, though. I like that series. So, yes, and as previously mentioned on the podcast. Okay, so that's Resident Evil. That's 28 Days Later. That's Dawn of the Dead 2004 and Shaun of the Dead, also released in 2004, so both the same year. And then Land of the Dead, 2005. And then I think, I mean, after that, the floodgates were open, and it's just like zombies just kind of became mainstream. But I also think, as with a lot of things, like once it becomes mainstream, it's actually dead. Like that's actually what kills it, stone dead. If you're looking at it from like an artistic underground perspective, once you go mainstream, you're not an artist anymore, and it's not interesting anymore, which I kind of understand and kind of agree with to a certain extent, even though I do like mainstream stuff. Some of it. Most of it's crap, but some of it's actually good. So, yeah, so in the case of Land of the Dead, that was kind of, I don't know, I'm theorizing here, I don't actually know, but, like, my guess is that it wasn't, like, more of a hit. It wasn't the bigger hit that maybe the producers wanted, whatever. Romero wanted the studio. You know, this was Romero's return to zombies, and I think a lot of people just didn't give a shit. If you watch the movie, it does play as, like, just kind of, like, a legitimate, like, big, like, zombie movie. Like, a 2005 zombie movie, just, even just divorced from Romero, it just works as a zombie movie. But it's also kind of, like, a great Romero movie in some ways. It's impressive what he did with that movie. And I do think it was underrated in some ways. So then, I don't know, zombies, I guess, maybe they just, from that point on, they were slowly becoming uncool. Even though you have, like, a million zombie movies after that. And the one I always think of is, I think it's called Warm Bodies. And that was, like, way later. That was, like, 2000, 13 or something. And to me, that's kind of the end of it. Actually, I think the dude that directed 50-50 directed it. Maybe that's why I think of it. But it's also like, it's like a PG-13 zombie romantic comedy. So it's like, oh, they're just doing Shaun of the Dead, but it's like the American version. And it's like part of this zombie boom, but at this point it's actually like post the boom. Oh, and also there was that movie Wreck, the found footage movie. That was like 2008. That was a zombie movie, I think. And that was a cool movie. That's one of the best found footage movies to me. Maybe that's really the end of it. Really, it was the 2000s. And then once you get into the 2010s and they're still making fucking zombie movies. I mean, I just stopped watching zombie movies for a while because I was so fucking sick of it. And then I saw Train to Busan and I was like, this is dope. This is the first good zombie movie I've seen in many years. And now, watching Land of the Dead, technically not last night, I guess it was early this morning, I just kind of like, I'm like, you know what? I think I can watch zombie movies again. It's kind of fun to see zombies. You know, they were always a fun creation to me. Another reason why it would be fun to live in that world is it would be fun to kill zombies. It would be fun to shoot them. Because they're like people, but they're like, they're already dead. And also they're kind of squishy, so they just like explode. And it's really gory. I don't know. This is like how I would make a zombie movie, I guess. It would be fun. And Shaun of the Dead is fun. Dawn of the Dead is fun. And I think Land of the Dead is fun in some ways, even though things have become, like, at this point in the progression of the timeline, the Romero timeline, things have become sort of hyper-militarized and stratified, and, like I said, society has basically been rebuilt at this point, but that makes it just kind of boring. I like the wasteland quality of, I guess, Day of the Dead more than any other one, but even in Dawn of the Dead, it was getting to that point of, like, these characters are living in the apocalypse. But it's weirdly kind of a fun apocalypse because you get to shoot zombies. And in the case of Dawn of the Dead, you get to eat hot dogs and run around a mall. I don't know. So, or eat whatever, I guess canned goods, probably. Probably not hot dogs. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe they had hot dogs in storage, they could cook them up. Who the fuck knows? Okay, this is Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. I'm going to sign off for today. I'm going to smoke some more weed. Last night, I listened to Father John Misty, his new album, Chloe in the Next 20th Century. And today, I might listen to some reggae. I was listening to Wailing Souls early this morning. And I'll listen to the Brady Snells podcast. And I'll be back on here to talk to you some more tomorrow. Peace.